is underway in South Dakota. We're hearing about moisture levels in soybeans, and we're hearing about semis starting on fire and the potential of fire at grain elevators this season. And I was curious about the spontaneous combustion of soybeans and corn. And we start this conversation trying to understand moisture in soybeans. And Darren Hefty is with the Ag PhD television program, and he also farms and has a seed business. And I spoke with Darren Hefty earlier this week.
So out in the fields right now, one of the challenges is that we're really wet and it's been tough. We've been pretty aggressively trying to get soybeans out on our own farm, and we've gotten them all out. But we're very unusual in that regard. Most growers are kind of stuck because the beans are just wet. And when we're overcast and dreary and catching rain, it seems like every other day, that gets pretty tough to get things out. Now with the cold weather coming up next week, it's going to be a challenge for these beans to dry down. So one of the strategies that we've been using on our farm is using bin fan controls so we can harvest beans a little bit wetter, maybe up to 16, 17% moisture, and then use air to dry them down. But that's not for everybody. If you aren't set up with the proper bins and bin fan controls, I don't know if I'd really recommend harvesting soybeans that wet.
And we're talking it's not the ground that's wet. It's the actual plant. It's the actual bean.
Yeah, the beans in the pod are wet. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges with harvest when it comes to soybeans. If you look at, okay, I've got green stalks, the stalks are wet, that's really no big deal. But where it's tough is when the pods aren't splitting open, when the pods themselves are wet. That's a challenge. And then, of course, if the beans inside the pod are still wet, then that's where having some sort of control system on your bins to be able to handle that is really a must.
And the weather isn't cooperating for leaving them in the field longer.
You know, it's a real risk. Once we get into October, the clock starts ticking. We want to get everything done by Halloween most years because anytime after that, we could have a snow. And when we catch snow, like we already saw the folks up in North Dakota that caught a big snow in early October, it dropped some of the branches off the bean nets, and they're just not going to be able to get them. So when you've got a plant that's this short to the ground, it's completely dead right now with the frost and cold weather that we've had, we need to get them out as soon as we can.
So talk a little bit about some of the other risks with having such high moisture crops. If you don't have that bin and you don't have that control monitoring and fan system, you either leave it on 24/7, yes, or what's your other option?
Well, the tough thing is let's just say that you have enough aeration to get grain to dry down, but you have to do it manually. Yes, you really have to watch what the weather conditions are going to be with humidity, with temperature, to get things to go the right direction. If you've got nice, warm, sunny days and it's dry, that's easy. But then you can also go too far. With soybeans, for example, we want to be just under 13% moisture. Otherwise, let's say you overdry the beans and you get down to 11. Well, you're giving up moisture that you could sell. So you're going to have more shrink and lost bushels and lost dollars. So we'd like to stay around that ideal moisture percentage. Elevators and processors will take soybeans at 13. That's what I would be shooting for long-term storage. As long as we're under 13 and the soybeans are cool, we're going to do pretty well keeping them well into the spring.
So let's talk a little bit about a spontaneous combustion, because I've heard that we might see some elevator fires. We might be seeing some semi-fires because of this spontaneous combustion. How does that work?
That's a great question, and it's one that I just haven't seen. You know, I hear in theory, yep, things could go wrong. I just haven't seen it. But I will say this. We harvested some soybeans really wet on our farm, and we happened to do it on a day that humidity was really high. It was well over 80%, and it just wasn't a condition that was conducive to getting air to dry the beans down. And so we didn't start things right away. And within just a couple of days, we had soybeans that were over 100 degrees in the bin. So, yeah, it can go south on you pretty quick if you're going to harvest things wet. So you want to make sure that you're set up for that and able to handle them quickly. I know when we talk about hauling in soybeans to grain elevators, part of the safety protocol for the elevator is they've got a certain moisture percentage where they just don't want to see the beans come in if they're past that. It varies by elevator. Some it's 15%, some it may be a little higher. But I think it's for everybody's safety that if you're not set up for that, you're better just to avoid it. You know, on the corn side, that's been a challenge this year, too. There's been a lot of corn coming out of the fields in South Dakota at 25% moisture or higher. And some people would say, well, we're harvesting too early on this. We should let it dry down more in the field. The challenge is our conditions in the field are tough. We've got a lot of areas of the state that the soils are really wet, and farmers haven't gotten field work done in the fall. On our farm, I know we didn't get anything done in 2018, and we really want to get out and fix up some of these spots in the field where there's some ruts or there was some washout from heavy rains this year or flooding. And we've just got work to do. For the livestock producers, they've got manure they want to get spread, and they need the fields to be harvested in order to do that. So, for example, we've got a neighbor that has a dairy, and for them to get the manure out, we ended up chopping some corn as silage this year that we were planning on harvesting for grain, but they just needed to get it out of the field so they could get the manure out there for next year's crop.
And as, I mean, this is also the time where producers are looking to next spring as well, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we want to start doing seed bed preparation and fertility work to replace the nutrients that we've removed. You know, in many cases, it's just from this year's crop, but in some areas of our state, it's been 2 or 3 years they've been fighting wet soils and tough conditions and just trying to get by with spring applications or at least just trying to put out what the crop is going to remove. But boy, in many cases, the soil tests around the state have shown we've really drawn down the nutrients and we need to build things back up.
Hmm. What's your prediction for next spring?
Hot and dry.
Really?
I'm not going to say anything else besides that. You know, here's the tough thing. We're plumb full of moisture right now across much of the state in our soils. And I know growing up, whenever we were in that situation, my dad was happy because he said, you know what? We are South Dakota. We're more likely to be dry than wet. And if we start with moisture in the soil, at least we have a chance of raising a crop. So I'm going to look at it on a positive side. If we get into the spring, and let's just say we're mid-April, and we get a couple of weeks of warm and dry, well, things could be great. And so I'm very hopeful that that's going to be the case. But I guess, you know, there's a long time between now and then for those conditions to play out.
And a lot can happen. What, in a perfect world, what kind of winter do we need to have?
Well, we need to have enough snow cover to protect our winter wheat, but not much more than that. So if we had a little bit of snow cover out there to protect those fall seeded crops, that would be wonderful. And then we just need an early warm up in the spring.
Okay. All right, Darren Hefty, I want to thank you very much for taking time and coming on the program today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Darren Hefty is with Ag PhD television and podcast programs, and new technology, as he talked about, can help producers dry their harvest. Ryan Wagner farms in Day County, and he talked recently with SDPB's Andrew Bork about how he uses bin dryers and technology in his operation.
My name is Ryan Wagner. We farm up here in Day County. We raise corn, soybeans, and spring wheat, farm with my family. And I've been farming since 2007 when I moved back to the farm, but previous to that, my dad and uncles and grandpa have been farming in this area since the 1950s. Yeah, technology has changed quite a bit just in the last 12 years. With, you know, when I first moved back, cell phone service was not great around here, and cell coverage has improved a lot since then, so it's allowed us to use some websites and apps and things to remotely control devices on the farm, you know, whether it be the bin fans or the dryer or whatever. And data collection has just been another big thing. Every field pass that we go through the field, we're collecting some sort of data, and we're able to use that and monitor that. just in various different ways, but a lot of it has to do with the web connectivity that's improved a lot on the farm. What I'm going to show you is what we call the bin manager system that allows us to remotely monitor drying fans on the bins, and it will turn them on and turn them off based on weather conditions that are optimal for drying the grain that's inside the bins. And the web portal that we have that we use to control that allows us to make adjustments on the go, setting a target moisture and target temperature that we want the grain inside those bins to be at. Each bin has a weather station on it, so it senses temperature, humidity, and I think it's mostly driven off of temperature and humidity, but two sensors, one for the ambient temperature and humidity, and then also for what the air is going into the bin. When the air goes through the fan, it actually heats it up just slightly, and that can change things sometimes. So each different grain that we have in the bin has an equilibrium moisture content that is determined by that temperature and humidity. So we're telling it what we want that temperature and grain moisture to be, and the system will turn the fans on and off based on the weather conditions to try to achieve that target. Each grain is a little bit different, dries a little bit differently. We only have wheat in the bins right now because we haven't started combining corn and beans yet, but they will also run at different times, slightly different times, but in general you need low humidity days to dry the grain. And then you'll see on the each bin has a picture of the bin, basically, so there's cables that drop down through it and sensors all the way up and down the cables, so you can actually visibly see the drying front moving through the grain from bottom to top as the grain dries. This just gives you a peace of mind knowing exactly what's inside the bins at all times, and is more efficient for power usage too. There's actually a program that we're working on, a pilot program that we're working on now with our local electrical co-op that will give you a discount because they know that you're running the fans only at the optimum time, you're using less power. So it gives you confidence you can store it a little bit longer knowing what's going on inside there, knowing that the grain's not heating up. You got cables throughout the bin that tell you what's going on. So, with bins, you'd like to use them. You'd like to store grain as long as possible to capture the best price farther out, you know, when the market conditions are telling you to sell. So it's helped us with that, to be just know what's in there, know the quality, and know what's going on inside the bin. Even this technology, when we first put it in, is advancing. Now we can get a 3D picture of what the bin looks like, where before it was just kind of a two-dimensional view and an average, more or less. In the last 10 or 15 years, we've gone from, you know, the size of equipment has gotten a lot bigger, so it's gotten more efficient that way, but, you know, GPS, sub-inch accuracy GPS now drives the tractors and the combines, where we were driving with the steering wheel before, so things like that have been around a while, and a lot of guys have that now. But, you know, in the future, I don't know, it's hard to imagine where it's going to go, but a lot of it could revolve around robotics. Maybe in the future, I think the equipment could get smaller again. You'd have, instead of a big combine or tractor running around out there, you'd have a fleet of robots going and doing the same job, and you'd program them to do that. So I don't know how far off that kind of stuff is, but they're developing that now, and it's probably closer than we think.
A lot of technology in agriculture. This was, you were listening to Ryan Wagner. He farms in Day County. And when we come back, we're going to talk science with Dr. Ranjit Kudali. You're listening to Innovation. Welcome back to Innovation. And we're talking about the fall harvest and technology and the science behind it all and moisture in the crops and so much more. And Dr. Ranjit Kudali teaches chemistry at the University of South Dakota. He joins me regularly on Innovation. And together we're in the same studios in Vermilion. Dr. K, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Kara.
So let's start, and you were listening to those recorded segments about moisture in the beans and all of that. And so some of the technology that you did your homework on as I presented you for the first time with the topic.
Oh, absolutely. So it was just fascinating to see how the humidity factors and unseasonal rainfalls can have a direct impact on the drying conditions. So ideally, farmers would like to dry their crops naturally so you don't have to put heat to dry the crops. But then when you have an unseasonal rainfall at the wrong time and you have high humidity and you want to prepare for the crops for the next season, you have to harvest the crops early, and then the moisture content of the crops become very critical. So for each crop, as Ryan pointed out, there is this Goldilocks zone, I would say, in terms of the moisture. Too high or too low is actually not good. So it turns out, Cora, for the soybeans, the optimal content of moisture is between 13% to 15%. But sometimes farmers have to look at the prices of the crops and the drying time it would take so that they can sell the crops at an optimal value. So there is a lot of calculations that goes on into when they should harvest, how long they should store, and what drying technologies they should use. Should they just use natural air, or they should have a high heating or a low heating? So it becomes a very complicated or a complex situation for the farmers. They have to balance all these factors and make take a strategic risk.
So talk to me a little bit about spontaneous combustion, because this is a concern. I've heard of semis catching fire because they had a load of beans that were too wet. How does this teach me the science?
So spontaneous combustion is also interchangeably, the word is used with spontaneous ignition. So it has some components. One is that you need to have something, a self-heating process that is internal, something that is increasing the temperature of, in this case, the soybeans internally, because this is happening on its own, so it's spontaneous. There is no external heat supply. So there is some activity happening within the soys that is increasing the heat. And then the next step is what is called a thermal runaway, where the temperature goes on to increase, and it then reaches a critical point called an ignition temperature when it just spontaneously catches fire. So it is actually counterintuitive to think that when the moisture is actually high, when
it's
the it is wet, that materials can actually spontaneously combust. So in cases of soybeans and many food products, what happens is when the moisture content is high, you can actually, at some critical point, they can germinate.
Okay.
Now, when the moisture content is just below the germination temperature, that moisture content, water, oxygen in the air, it actually provides the bacteria and the fungi to actually grow. And what they do is they react with the oils in the soybeans, and they generate these oxidative products. And these oxidative products, in the presence of natural air, can allow for self-combustion. So it is the microbiological activity of these bacteria at the optimal moisture content that allows for these oils to generate heat. And so in soybeans, for example, there is about 57% of polyunsaturated oil, slightly higher than corn, actually. So when the moisture content is high, these microbes, bacteria, and fungi that are in the environment, that are attached to these soybeans, they start to generate these polyunsaturated oil that is there already. And then these oils started to get, they get started heating. And then at some point, these heating process actually continues, because these soybeans, they're just packed in a tight container. There is not enough aeration. And so the heat is spread from locally to more seeds within the container, and then you reach these thermal runaway where the temperature, each of these seeds start popping out and the oil is released. And so for combustion, you need two things. You need oxygen and you need a fuel. The fuel is chemicals inside the soybeans themselves, the polyunsaturated and the saturated fat. And so when the moisture content is right, you have a microbiological activity, then you have a chemical activity, and that allows for the spontaneous combustion.
Add a little oxygen and boom.
Yeah.
So so if we see semi-fires, if we hear about fires in bins, what do you do?
Well, the first thing is to try to ensure that, one is to ensure what is the moisture content, right? So perhaps we know that when the moisture content is very close to the germination, perhaps there should be some sensors in these trucks or these bins that will allow us to, will provide information about the humidity content, right? So if the humidity content is very close to the germination, that is a telltale sign that perhaps we need to allow for these soybeans to be spread widely so they're not in close contact with one another. So even if there is a localized thermal runaway, that heat will be dissipated. So having effective sensors to monitor the humidity and temperature is very critical. And Ryan pointed out that, you know, the technology is becoming very sophisticated now that you can actually look at the temperature and humidity in various at various places.
Yeah, so this just blows my mind.
Yeah.
So producers really need to pay attention before they load up a bin or a semi, really what the soil moisture content is.
Absolutely. And now I think there are, I'm just looking cursorily over the last 2 days, there are apps that will talk about the humidity in a region. So the agriculture field has become highly sophisticated. There are tools and resources for farmers to know the local temperature, the humidity of the harvesting grains. And so once they have that information and if they know what are the conditions that are ripe for spontaneous combustion, they can take proactive measures to avoid these disasters.
So the problem usually comes when you're in a hurry.
Absolutely. So that's where, the farmers are preparing for the next crop season. Mm-hmm. And they want to harvest the soybeans when the leaves are dry. They don't want these green soybeans. And so that there is a trade-off. Sometimes mm-hmm. you're making a judgment, a qualitative judgment. And with that, sometimes they pay a price when the moisture content allows for these microbiological activity to generate these oils. They break from the pods, and then you have oxygen, and that's a combustible
opportunity
to, right?
Same thing can happen with corn?
Corn, actually, the moisture, it has a higher threshold of tolerance. It has a lower polyunsaturated oil. And so with corn, you don't see this much as opposed to soybeans, because these are much smaller and they're more exposed and the surface area is more. So the chances for happening with smaller seeds and grains are much higher.
Okay. Dr. Kudali, thank you so much for coming on the program. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, as always, to be with you, Cara,
thank
on
you.
SDPB.